Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Here on Garage Talk Live, Vince.
So how you been doing there? I see you're taking up to the keyboard now instead of, you still doing the Burning Rubber Radio on, or?
This year we've kind of put the show on hiatus on the Performance Motorsports Network, being that, you know, that we make so much money doing this, Vince, we have to have real jobs. Back into law enforcement. Now we just lost half the listeners there. But anyway, got back into that and made it kind of hard to do Burning Rubber Radio. But, man, I'm always available to do Garage Talk Live.
Well, I've been doing this morning since, actually, the original show with my original co-host was called The Pit Pass, started in 2001. And then it evolved after that when the person left and they weren't upholding my standards, so they took the name. It was her name. I was having female co-hosts for some reason. I changed it to, I had another friend talk about it, we changed it to Garage Talk Live, and it's been that way since about 2004 or so. That's our history here, and I used to be on a little station up in New Jersey, and when I moved to Virginia, I took it with me and put it online, so here we are. On Blog Talk Radio, doing it from my dining room table. That's good about internet radio. You don't have to go anywhere.
That's right, man. You know, that's where it's at nowadays. They call us grassroots radio, and hell, your show and my show, between the two of them, we got roots all the way down to China, I guess. We've been around for a day or two.
That's for sure. And I'll tell you, it's been a crazy season with the new rules changes and the playoffs versus the Chase, Monster Energy. Instead of Miss Sprint Cup in a fire suit, you have a bevy of beauties in bikini tops and spandex pants. And I don't know, it's kind of new point system with playoff points, regular season points for stage wins. I win the stages. I mean, what do you make of it all?
Yeah, it's definitely different. NASCAR is reinventing itself dang near on a weekly basis. You got to figure within 5 years they've lost all of their main players. Jeff Gordon's gone. Mark Martin's gone. You got guys like Carl Edwards gone. Dale Jr. see ya at the end of this season. So now they might as well reinvent the thing while they're bringing in the new set of stars like Bubba Wallace and all of these new kids. that are going to be trying to fill the stands for him next year.
I know, and I got Casey Kane looking for a ride. Matt Kenseth looking for a ride. I mean, you're talking a former, I always like to say, Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series champion, but here the final champion in the Winston Cup era. But you have the, when you get a new big bank sponsor, everything was, what you're calling it now is what it used to be.
Exactly. You know, the heydays of the 90s, they're definitely history by right now. If you think about a big bang sponsor, it's not big bang like it used to be. NASCAR is, well, let me correct myself before I go here. Last week they had a 1% increase in viewership, but has been on a constant downslide throughout the last 3 to 5 years with viewership and attendance to races. Less people in front of the set, less people in the stands equals less money that these sponsors are going to be willing to pay to bring their product to the track. So that, in fact, is devaluing NASCAR. And I think that right now we're still feeling the effects, as far as NASCAR goes, of this recession. And companies have just decided to take their money elsewhere instead of investing in racing as a form of marketing and media.
I know. It used to be that the best advertising is to get on the side of a top series or Winston Cup slash then Nextel Sprint and now Monster car because you get counter time that you normally would have to shell out big bucks for. But back when they used to do that, you know, a cup car didn't cost $10 to $15 million a year to slap your name on. Maybe, I mean, the truck series now at $5 million probably was about the average. So when you had your gate draw, you had your close racing with paint trading, it got to be exciting to watch. And then ESPN took it from maybe a tape delay or something broadcast on a day other than the event to a live feed that got everybody sort of interested. And then you had the big boom and tracks started expanding. They started building more tracks, and then the economy crashed in 2008 with the high prices of hotels and seats and all that. Everybody had to re-budget themselves, and that kind of started it all, and trying to get all that back hasn't been all that successful.
You're right. And NASCAR, the problem is in 2008, it cost $30 million to run Jimmy Johnson's 48 car. And I talked to Chad Kanosh at Pocono one time and got these numbers. That was back in 2008, 2009. The problem is the income to the sport has just flattened. It's flatlined. The income isn't there that there used to be. But the problem is, still costs about $30 million to run up front with the number 48 car. I see NASCAR is trying to take some steps to try to alleviate some of these cost overruns or some of the high costs of being an upfront team. Like in the truck series, they're talking about a spec engine. In the Xfinity series, they're talking about composite bodies. In fact, they're going to run them at Richmond this year. So you can see they're trying their best to try to curtail some of these high costs.
Yeah, but are they going to have spec engines from each manufacturer, or are they going to just say, okay, kind of like the bodies, they're pretty much spec now. It's not some guy putting a roll cage in his old Belvedere and taking it out and paying maybe a few $100 entry fee, and which was probably like the original Daytona 500 or racing on the beach.
Yeah.
Now, the composite bodies, you think it's a mess to clean up now, the sheet metal? Boy, that's going to be a real mess when they slap the wall.
That's what I would like to see. You know, now you go and peel some sheet metal off. Heck, sometimes you throw some 200-mile-an-hour tape on it, slap them, you know, clean the driver's rear end, put them back in the car, and send them back on the track. But yeah, what are you going to do with composite bodies? When they hit the wall, they're going to go crunch instead of bending, and you can't beat those things out. You got to replace the whole body, right?
Right. So that's real people going to the garage, and what the new rules say, and once you go to the garage in a wreck, you're done for the day. So I guess we'll have, if at that rate, you might have, well, you're still only having maybe at some places like Talladega, Daytona, where they have the big wrecks, maybe 10, 15 cars finishing the race. So,
right.
But still, you know, every little friend of the bender, you're going to be in the garage, and or you're not going to be able to fix it on pit road and get back out. Like, you know, where you, like you said, just pound out a fender or something like that, you're pretty much done for the day. So you'll have a bunch of races where you're going to have few finishers. I mean, even now, they're limited in the field to 40, I guess they cut out the starting parks. And even that, you're not getting the full field. I've seen entries that, you know, qualified. 39 people made the field, so you know that's all that went in.
That's right. Yeah, it's a dilemma. Venta is going to have to just straighten itself out. I know the old days in the 90s, I guess I should say, in the early 2000s, you got your top-tier NASCAR Cup Series drivers that are making mega, mega millions. Now, they're just making a percentage of the gate, not the gate, the wins. They're not making a third of what they used to make back in the day. So that's another part of the whole equation is having to equalize itself. And personally, I think it's devaluing the sport.
Well, just think, up until a few years ago, the team owners would go out and hunt down the money to fund the team. Now, if you got the cash, a.k.a. Paul Menard or Michael Annette or William and Spencer Gallagher in the Xfinity Series, who's that owns something that makes $1 billion, you're going to get a ride. But
yeah, that's right. You know, if they call them Rich Daddy's kids out there, paying for a ride. That is more prevalent in the Truck Series and to an extent in the Xfinity Series. It does happen in the Cup Series, as you can see with Paul Menard, which, thank God, Paul Menard, believe it or not, he's won some Cup races. He ain't that bad. But you've got some guys that I wouldn't let drive my Toyota out in my driveway, much less a 650-horsepower Silverado in the Truck Series.
Yeah, I mean, what was the joke about the Zaxby guy? What they call him?
Two-car Townley? John Townley Jr. Yeah, you know, and there was his dad owned Zach. He's a nice guy and everything, and but, you know, that's how you get the name two-car whenever you go to the track and you know you're going to wreck the primary car, so you might as well put the dang setup in the backup truck too, you know.
Or start out with that one, so when you wreck it, you have the good one for the race.
There you go. Go backwards. Oh, we're going to get all kinds of hate mail from Townley's listeners out there. Folks, it's all in fun.
Yeah, we know. Because, I mean, when you look at, like, the Earnhardt family, vaunted family of NASCAR, you have Dale Jr. retiring, who I thought his best years were when he drove for his dad. He did have some success with Hendrick, but not quite what everybody thought. And that concussion, I think, really took the starch out of him. With now being married, you know, wifey has a lot to say. Same with Carl Edwards, his wife being a doctor, had probably a lot more to say about him stepping away.
Yeah, Earnhardt, as you know, Vincent, I do a lot of PR work for Carrie's son, Bobby Dale Earnhardt. He's Jeffrey's brother. I can tell you first up front that he takes none of the family money or the name to try to make it his racing career. He just tried to qualify a car this 2 weeks ago at Iowa, and of course it didn't make it. It's one of Carl Long's cars. But the thing is, he's doing this without any money or any family money. So you can see how hard it is, even with the last name Earnhardt, to try to find some funding in today's racing.
And definitely. I mean, Jeffrey just got a cup ride that's pretty regular with a back bottom 20 team. But
that's
at least he's in the field, and it took him a while to get up there. And you know, you would think that did he shy away from driving Virginia Motorsports or because it's family, or they're just looking for the bucks? Because I saw where Brad Kay, Kyle, and Dale Jr. talking about the rules and money owning these teams.
You know, I can't speak for Kerry. I don't know Kerry personally. I just know that it's Bobby Dale's dad from what I hear. And I know there's some infighting in the Earnhardt families, like any other family in America, where they're kind of dysfunctional to some extent. But I can say that Teresa took the money and ran. The discourse and displeasure Junior had with her was nothing made up or nothing in your mind. It was for real. And, you know, even Bobby Dale, she gives him a hard time and threatens to sue him because he uses his middle name. See, he's Dale Sr.'s first grandson. And Kerry in the family named him Bobby, and after his grandfather, Dale Earnhardt. She wants to try to sue him not to use the middle name Dale. So it's not what you think it is sometimes.
Nah, and used to see that picture of togetherness when Dale and Teresa were together with the little kid. I don't even know what happened. I guess Teresa's got her squired away, but I guess of course Dale Sr. trademarked the name. So, of course, Teresa's probably going to look for every outlook, anyone from anybody she can, because I don't know what she's done with it. You really don't hear much from her anymore. But maybe that's a good thing, because... But it looks like when you have Dale Jr. and sister Kelly are the ones that are together the most, because they were out of the same family.
Yeah, Kelly and Jr. at JR Motorsports have nothing to do with Teresa anymore. Of course, she's just gone into unfortunately, you know how you know it. But Dale Sr. makes more money today than he did when he was alive. And even when Dale was with us, he'd say he drives a race car, Teresa takes care of the business. And that was the way it was. Dale didn't have a whole bunch to do with the business end of things. It was all Teresa. So when we lost Dale Sr., basically Teresa she had the loss of a husband, but other than that, she didn't lose anything business-wise.
Yeah, because they kept the team together a few years after, but after, you know, I guess when Junior got fed up with driving for the family business and went with Hendrick, that's when I guess she closed up shop because at that time they had Truex, Mikey Waltrip, Steve Park until he got hurt. I think then Truex took over, and then Junior. And when they all started inking new deals, Waltrip and Truex went together and Junior went with Hendrick, because I think it was right after Rick Hendrick lost Ricky. So they kind of formed a bond with each other there.
Yes. And I do believe through Jeff Gordon also had a lot to do with that. And in the end, it's all business. Whenever I got involved in the grassroots effort like you, and you've seen this, you know, I lost some of the wins in my sales when I saw the business end of NASCAR, and that's what it is. It's a business. And when you find out it's not the best of the best, it's who has the biggest checkbook that's going to go out and race. And if your checkbook's even bigger than the other guys with the wallet that's not quite as packed as yours, you're going to win the race because you got 10 more horsepower. It's just kind of sad sometimes.
Yeah, that's why I've been focusing a bit more with the NHRA. The races aren't as long. They're not as boring from between the green flag and the checker. And if you ever, when you go to the drag race, whether you buy a ticket, get a press pass, in that case or what, the drivers are right there with you. You don't have to get a special pass to go to the pits or garage area like you do at a cup track. Or any car, for that matter. I mean, they call this every ticket's a pit pass, and sure enough it is. The driver's hanging out at the edge there signing autographs, and it's pretty neat. Family-friendly experience that a NASCAR originally built itself as back in the day to draw the crowds they do.
Yeah. And I guess back in 2010 or 2011 was the first NHRA drags I went to at the Three Wides in Charlotte. And I, of course, I was covering it for Performance Motorsports Network, got to set up in the big box behind the start-finish line. And the first time I saw them launch in real life blew my mind. The acceleration is totally crazy sick. The way those things take off, TV does it no justice.
No, and the feeling you get standing by the start-finish line. Now, I went to Englishtown. It's the only time I've been to a drag race to cover, and you figure they had 8,000 horsepower in the nitro cars, and now they're over 10. So,
wow.
You get four cars at the four rides when the light, when the tree goes green, taking off. I never felt anything like that with two cars. Imagine four.
Four. I said three wide. Yeah, it's four wide there. It's crazy that these guys, and what else is crazy, when you got in the pits in a NASCAR race, you know, in the cup garage, truck garage, wherever you're at, you get the nice smell of the fuel they use. But you get a whiff of the fuel they use down in the dang paddock area at the drag races, you need EMS to come freaking revive you.
I thought it was funny when I go by the souvenir trucks and see gas masks hanging. Now I know why, because that nitro methane is nasty.
It's just horrible. It like to kill me.
I covered Dover like both races a year when I was up there, and cars, movies, room, all that kind of stuff. Even a pack of 43 out on the track was loud, but you get them tuning up one funny car, one top fuel dragster. I swear, man, your hearing is gone like leaving a Deep Purple concert.
Yeah, coolness. Getting next to those things. What are these funny cars? You said they're putting out 10,000 horsepower now, right?
Yeah. I think when I.
How the heck?
Actually, I think Robert Height, when he was on a couple weeks ago, said 11, but so that. They upped it some.
You know, my buddy's got a real nice Hellcat that's got 700 and some horsepower. I got to play around with that, and it's without using traction control, it is impossible to get all the power to the ground with this type of tires that you got on those things. And those are wide street tires. But how in the heck are they able to get 11,000 horsepower to the ground, even with those huge slicks, Vince?
Well, that's why they do burnouts to get all hot and gooey, and then they adjust the clutch, actually, to where you can't get all that to the rear wheels, because if you do, you know, even now, when they adjust the clutch and they start breaking traction at it, we'll see. 60 to 300 feet, which is they only run 1,000 in nitro because of, for safety. But still, when you're talking Robert Height, after he did the show, qualified at 339.87 miles an hour, they did something right and dialed it. Of course, he didn't win that week and came back and won the next, but still, to be the number one qualifier in turn probably, which is the fastest time in the fastest speed in NHRA history. You know, it's just a matter of somebody's engineering skills and what to set the vehicle at just so they can drive and run, because on any given day, they can just cut them loose and get sideways.
Well, in the heartbeat. And it's, you know, think about this. You're going from zero to 330 some miles an hour in less than a quarter of a mile. The G-forces have to be crazy.
Yeah, I've asked them about that. It is something pretty wild, and, you know, Then you have to pull the chute and get all that reverse G. I don't know, it's not like they're in a fighter plane with an oxygen mask tank hooked up to a tube on your helmet. So you can just imagine the feeling of that. You know what I mean?
Oh, there you go, man. A little technical difficulties on this part. Yeah, I do know what you mean. I don't know what you mean, I guess, because I can't imagine getting in there. You know, they'd have to put a – when I get out of the bucket, I mean, out of the car, they're going to have to have a water hose out there to clean me out, you know, even thinking of getting half of that fast in that space.
I don't know. It used to be, you know, you hop in your streetcar and you drag race your local buddies on the corner before guys like you and Blue would come and give us a ticket. You're talking at best 15, 17 seconds, you know.
Yeah. You know, and you just think, Vince, about the way technology's come. Let's take the folks out there and know that, you know, I'm in law enforcement. And unfortunately, I get to drive around in these Chargers, these V6 Chargers we have. And folks think that's a bad thing. Yeah, a 305 horsepower V6. And, you know, these things are run into the dirt. I run them hard. And folks, like, you know, like you just say, oh, not a V6. Well, heck, not too long ago. I'm talking within 10, 12 years ago when we were in the Crown Vicks, they were putting out a grand total of 225 horsepower as a V8. Now we got this little V6 in these things.
But see, when you're dealing with cars like Mustang GTs with 425 horse or Challenger Hemis or SRTs with even more horse, you're looking 500 there or even Mustang Cobra, Shelby Cobra is pushing out 650 horse. Your little 305 horsepower V6 is going to cry. You would think they would put an SRT8, beef it up, and with that 6.2 Hemi in it with about 600 horse, maybe optional nitrous bottle or supercharger there that you can, or even a twin turbo, which is probably, I mean, everybody says you can't outrun the radio, but if you can get far enough, fast enough, you can get off on those side roads and back somewhere and hidden before you can really get to do anything. And then you say, oh, the helicopter.
Yeah.
Well, police budgets have been so drained that I don't even think most of them carry run helicopters anymore.
Yeah, you know, and most agencies, and I'm in a Tampa Bay, Florida area, if you run from them, heck, you could be in a motor scooter. They'll just, we turn our lights off, turn around, go the other way. There's not even a chase anymore. So that's just the way things have come, I guess. So, you know, if you're on a little 125 motorcycle and you can get the thing up to about 70 miles an hour, well, it sounds like you won the pursuit already. It's just sad the way things have gone that way.
Yeah, that was the whole fun of being a cop. You could drive fast, carry a gun, and shoot people if you have to.
Nah. Thank God I haven't had to do that, but you get to drive fast once in a while, and I'm a race car driver, so that always puts a smile on my face.
Well, here's the thing. You get into that iRacing. Does any of that help you in the cruiser?
Yes, totally and absolutely so, especially with the rear-wheel stuff. You know, we had a couple of all-wheel drive stuff, things, I wasn't big, but on these rear-wheel drive cars like the Vicks and these Chargers that we're driving, my God, what we do in iRacing, especially road course racing and whatnot, and I'm a big iRacer, folks, virtual racing, it translates absolutely to what I have to do in real life as far as car control goes, throttle steering, which a lot of folks don't even know what that is. And the physics of the vehicle, it's really neat what I do, and racing at home is really a trainer and helps tweak what I have to do sometimes out there in the obstacle course on the street, getting around cars and doing what I got to do to get to a call.
Now, you want to really make some money if you were sort of a techno geek? Come up with an iRacing program just for and a simulator for police departments or academies that where they train the kids so you don't get somebody wrecking in 3 cruisers in 3 months.
Oh, Bench, you just gave me an idea. That's dangerous.
Now, I'll take a royalty, not much, just if you do get filthy rich.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's something else.
And I come up with ideas all the time. I just think I just don't have any way to put them into action. I think I might have been able to retire at 20.
Yeah. It takes money to make money. You've heard that before, right? I'm sure it applies heavily in this idea area, too.
Yeah. But see, here's the thing. Now you have reality shows, Shark Tank or Steve Harvey's Thunderdome, and you pitch somebody, and the woman pitch these rich executives like Bezos or the guy from Texas that can't keep his mouth shut and blames Trump for everything, and and some other, a couple others that'll fund your adventure if they think it's worth their while, or fund their dome, which is actually kind of there's people in the audience and they pick who gets funded.
I've never sat down and watched any of those shows. I've heard a bunch about them and stuff, but I guess it'd be kind of neat to watch it.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because they have people compete for $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, $100,000 on Thunderdome. And whoever makes the better pitch, they'll vote on it, and the one with the most votes gets the cash. And they'll give, before they see who gets it, they'll give somebody a chance to opt out because the loser gets nothing. So if they opt out and take a bit of cash to opt out, and if they would have lost, at least they're going with something, is it? But if you opt out and you're the one that's going to win, then you missed out on the full song. So, but, you know, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I guess so. I have to give it a watch. And about while we're talking about iRacing, some folks, you ought to give it a try. If you wanted to try it, if you got a hold of me through Performance Motorsports Network, I'll give someone out there, any of your listeners, Vince, if they go to Performance Motorsports Network and say, hey, Andy, I want to try this on our Facebook page, I'll give folks 3 free months of iRacing on the house, courtesy of Garage Talk Live.
Wow. You hear that, folks? Go to my Garage Talk Live page and put up all the details.
Yep.
You're welcome to post there anytime.
And that's right. Go to the Garage Talk Live page. You don't have to worry about Performance Motorsports Network page. Go to Garage Talk Live. Tell Vince, hey, I want to try Andy out on that 3 free months. And you got yourself. All you got to do is get yourself a steering wheel, folks, because it don't work with the controller or a keyboard. It's the real deal. But I was going to get at Vince with iRacing, they've come out with dirt. They got the World of Outlaws now. It's crazy popular, but I'm not a dirt racer. But this fall, they are introducing and coming out with the Rallycross. They're going to have rally cars
really?
In iRacing. That is outstanding because that is one of my absolute favorite forms of racing.
Well, it just so happens that there's a certain rally cross driver, extreme driver, I can get on the show, who used to be a co-host of Top Gear, Tanner Faust.
Who?
Tanner Faust.
Oh, my gosh. If you could get a hold of Tanner, I have been trying. I have, just before, you know, I had to take a hiatus with Burning Rubber Radio, his schedule wouldn't work and all of this and that. I have been trying to get Tanner on Burn the Rubber forever. So let me know. I'd like to co-host when you have Tanner on, would you?
Sure. As a matter of fact, I had a contact with him. He hooked me up with his PR guy because he did do the show before. I mean, I think we went on for like 40 minutes because he was talking and I was talking. He was telling me how the Crown Vicks used a truck frame and he was getting his own. This is when he drove with Fords, now he's with V-dubs, but he was getting his own Tanner Faust edition of Ford Focus or something like that, where they juiced it up a bit, and it was pretty neat.
Yeah, that would be cool. See, I didn't know that there was a...
Maybe you can go back to the Blog Talk Radio, Garage Talk Live archives and find it and check it out. I think it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, definitely. I had to do that. I didn't know that he wasn't hosting the show anymore.
No, as a matter of fact, they shut it down after a couple seasons ago. NBC took Rutledge Wood over for them, and Tanner went back to racing, and Adam Ferreira, he's an actor, so I guess he decided to go back to acting or comedian or whatever he was doing. Now they have an Australian guy or a British guy, rookie Antron Brown, top year, two-time champion, and another grungy-looking dude on BBC America now. And it's there on, I think, every Sunday. Check your local listings on BBC America, and it's on Sunday, I believe. I just set it on DVR, record original shows and stuff like that.
I tell you, there's a, talking about BBC, there's a show that I actually like watching a lot. It's called Wheeler Dealers. Have you seen that one?
Usually on my regular 3 to 11 gig, we tape certain things, and half the ones that we watch, I sleep through because going to bed at 6 and getting up at 10 and working 3 to 11 is a bit much. At my age, I'm like 59 a few months, so I'm just glad to stay up when I can.
I hear you, man. I was going to say that Wheeler Dealers is a cool show where they go out and buy these old beater cars and bring them back to life as original as they can and go out and sell them. That was pretty cool. That's a BBC thing, and I enjoy watching that once in a while. But, yeah, let me know when Tanner shows up. I got a whole bunch I'd like to ask him about.
Sure, no problem. Maybe I'll put the shout out and see if I can get him on. I mean, I've been able to get some decent guests doing this thing, and it's amazing with being on an actual AM station was able to do for me as far as this, and then I just carry the contacts with me. So all the people that have come on over the times, or you get out to the track and you have a microphone with a mic flag, and the cup guys sometimes you can get them, sometimes you can. It's easier to get them there than to get them to call in the show. But Truck Series, yeah. Xfinity Series, I mean, or being, I'm not a Comcast fan, I call them the Xfinity Series.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's, and also, it's a lot easier to get a hold of the guys, like you said, in the Truck Series and all the guys in the Cup Series tend to be kind of hard to get a hold of, and because they've got other things that they have to do. But these guys in the trucks and Xfinity, they're looking for some PR, so it's a little easier to get a hold of them and develop relationships with them.
You know what NASCAR needs to do, though? And I hate to say this, but they need to diversify. They need some more competitive women in the sport. I mean, you look at the NHRA. You have the Force Girls who win. You have Erica Enders, who's first ever winning two-time Pro Stock Series champion.
Yeah.
Alexis DeGioia. Now you have Leah Pritchett in the Papa John's Top Fuel Dragster winning events and a shot at a championship. Shirley Mulgurney, I guess, set the precedent being a Top Fuel driver back in the day when I think they only had 4,000 horsepower winning championships for women. I mean, that seems to be where women can succeed and with the men. And then you look at poor drivers like Danica with her money. I don't know if it's a car, her skills are up, but you had Johanna Long who did well with what she had, or poor Jennifer Jo Cobb, who's an owner driver, underfunded team. And maybe if she had a few million more dollars, she could put some, go from the bottom 15 to top 15.
I can tell you that Jennifer Jo just got sponsorship for next year.
Oh, good. I think I saw where she signed. She was on last week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's some real estate investment thing.
Okay, there you go. So we got JJC going to be back behind the wheel, who's a super, super duper person. Just an awesome person to be around.
You ever talk to her?
Oh, yeah.
We pretty much hung out together at Dover when she was, I had her on, and I had her and Shauna Robinson on the same day. And they had known each other, hadn't talked to each other in a while, and, you know, Facebook, oh, maybe we ought to get together. Well, I had one stay over when another came on and was like, hey, I guess I'm here about to talk to you. And I said, Jennifer Joe. So they kind of rebonded back together, and there's another one, Shauna Robinson.
I know that she was having a cancer scare there a while back. Do you know how she's doing?
Yes, she's in remission, and she had her son was diagnosed with testicle cancer. He's just going to college, but I think they cured that. She, her mom just passed away. Her brother was killed in a motorcycle accident earlier last year, so he passed away. And I feel sorry for the girl. I mean, I met her, I was able to get her on. I couldn't even get an interview with her at Dover because she was driving for BAM, and by the time they got to Dover, she had left or got fired or walked away because it wasn't a good mix. Let's put it that way.
Sure. And she's a very, very personal person, too. You know, one of the only drivers, female drivers, I haven't got to talk with and interview is Danica Patrick. She seems to be, her time seems to be taken to the point where us grassroots guys can't get close enough to her to get a word in edgewise.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I tried to get her, and her PR person says she doesn't do those kind of shows, which I was on an AM station. I was in a free market, and I was the only motorsports show in the market. So you would think that, hey, maybe you do, but she should have been able to do something at the track. And she was.
Right.
And she was. I got a few questions off when she first drove for Junior Motorsports in Nation Xfinity Busch Ride. And they brought her to a press conference in Dover. So, that's why if you want to see me drive and you want to get some questions, you got to go hit the press conferences, get your media center credentials and all that kind of stuff. Because sometimes the bigger names, that's all they'll do. And you face it, she just came over from IndyCar. She did have an IndyCar win. Of course, it was in Japan, but still it counts. And she was starting her career. And then we're out and watching her in Junior's car with the GoDaddy sponsorship get beat by Johanna Long with an underfunded team week in and week out. There's another one that somebody actually hit all the time because she was willing to talk.
Yeah, it's tough to get close to her, but that's all right. She's making her money now.
Yeah. Well, did you catch any of the events this weekend in Michigan?
No, I listened to a little bit of it. Kyle Larson went out there and showed him the way around the track, which is awesome because he's an awesome guy. I'm glad he won at Michigan, but you think he's going to be able to repeat it this weekend at Bristol?
No. Matter of fact, I'm looking at the stats from this race last year and the one earlier this year. The one earlier Jimmy Johnson took. Larson did finish in the top 10. He was sixth.
At Bristol.
And in the August race, the night race, I have to go down a little bit. Way down. hold on. I'm trying to track him down here. 24th. He started 23rd. So, but he's matured a lot in a year, though.
Oh, yes. He's another one. He's one of the few that are the real deal. That's when I say real deal, that means daddy's money didn't elevate him in the position where he's at. You know, him, Brad Keselowski, is actually one of the real deal drivers. There's another, yeah. Brendan Larson, who, man, I'd love to see him break into this 100% man, I just got to love live radio when you get a brain fart and you forgot whose name you're fixing to bring up.
Yeah, it's not like your podcast where you can edit out the dead space. I think you're not going to cover somebody pick up the phone.
Oh, my gosh, I said Kyle Larson's friend. I was going to say Kyle Larson. That's not Kyle Larson. That'll come back to me in a second. I should know. I know him really well. I'm just getting that on air. Oh, crap. Okay.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Oh, my Lord. But, well, anyway, you know, it's going to be one of the newer guys because that's all that's out there for Bristol this week.
Harvick's still there. He's done rather well there. He finished third in April. He won last August, so I might go with him this week. As I usually base my weekly picks on how they performed in the last couple of races. You can't count out Truex.
That's right. He is on fire this year.
Yeah, I mean, he went from Chevy to Toyota, and yeah, he won a couple, but he's got four wins, and if you look at all these playoff points and things, he's got the most of those, 35 playoff points. That means he won a lot of stages, because you only get a playoff point if you win, but you get championship points in the regular season if you finish second, you know, first through 10th. So yeah. That's, you know, another strange thing. And then Larson with his third mid-year, tying him and moving him ahead of Johnson. And but then you can't count Jimmy Johnson out because
right.
He won the race in August.
Yeah, he's my favorite anyway. Ryan Ellis was the name I was thinking of. Ryan Ellis.
Oh, there we go. See, you figured it out.
But, yes, Jimmy Johnson, he's a threat to win anywhere. You know, this is the time of year when Jimmy Johnson starts to pour it on and you start seeing him coming out and showing things. I mean, he's already got a spot in the playoffs. But, you know, I'll get a few folks mad out there, but I'll tell you, this is the truth. And this isn't just because I like Jimmy Johnson, he's a nice guy. But Johnson and Chad Knaus, I think, is one of the best duos that in the history of the sport. Abraham Gordon, that was another one, but these two guys here are absolutely the class of the field.
And a regular guest on my show is married to Chad Knaus, Miss Brooke Werner Knaus, former Miss Sprint Cup. Whenever I put out a call for a Miss Sprint Cup, she would always say, I'll do it.
Yeah, I'll be done.
Well, you know, I'd like to look the thing about this, you know, you put the drivers on, you put some crew people on, you put people that are around the sport, and you put people that have been impacted by the sport. Like, if I'd have known about it, Dave Mustaine drove the pace car at Watkins Glen last year, I would have tried to get him on and see what he thought, but, you know.
Yeah, of course, you know, and that's the same thing I did on Burning Rubber Radio. Event, you know, get everybody from all aspects of the sport, not just the drivers, you know, the guys behind the scenes. You know, and we were talking about composite bodies, so I want to touch on that real quick again because there's something that concerns me talking about the teams. These composite bodies stand to put a lot of these folks that you don't see back at the shop out of a job.
That's true.
Body hangers and these other guys that come out there. You know, Danica Patrick's pit crew is going to be, you know, instead of 100 people to clean her wrecks up every week, they're only going to have one or two to hang the body.
You know, to make a joke about Danica, she's a tank car, but she goes through tank cars.
I should do that. I'm driving your fans away, Ben.
That's right. I don't care. Obviously, we'll still have the fans of the NASCAR Outcasts tuning in or picking up on the podcast right after the show. That's what's good about this. I can go live and then, if you missed it, tune in.
Oh, my Lord. Hey, you know, shout out to them and big old Floyd Up the Grove, our artist buddy out there at the land of NASCAR Outcasts. I always called them out on Burning Rubber Radio, man, because that's where we hang out. Over there. So if you're on Facebook, folks, head over to the land of NASCAR. That's N is Nancy, APCAR. That's NASCAR Outcast. And come get in on conversation. Just don't be thin skinned.
That's for sure. And nothing gets pulled. They'll take on all different franchise fans. And look at some of the member list. I think Sean Robinson's on one of that on it, and a few others. We got to get Floyd to call in. I don't know what he's doing, but he seems to. I put the link on the show on that to where to right before we went on, so anybody could tune in if they wanted to. And unfortunately, I didn't give out the call number, so we hogged all the time because. We don't get together very often.
That's right, buddy. I'm enjoying being on here. It's a good time. And always enjoy being on here with you. You know, two old Marines on here can always talk for at least an hour.
Man, the only thing missing is a beer.
That's right. we'll have to do the next show in the beer garden.
Yeah, we'll have to make go. Good. Well, see, the thing about this is I can schedule it live at any time. So, either way, if you miss it, you can still listen live. Like a couple of weeks ago, I did a night show, and Jamie Little called in. And I know somebody gave her some hard time on NASCAR about her ponytail and calling her stupid, but she's not stupid. She knows what she's doing. And to evoke an answer, sometimes you have to ask a question that isn't going to piss your guest off. But I'll defend Jamie to no end. She comes on. I met her at Dover, and we became friends and professional friends. And if I ask, I just send her a text, and we work something out. We were having technical difficulties where good old FDA was made by the internet. You call into a central board there, and by the time it gets to you, if your internet service provider is having issues, then you were on the board tonight before I got on the board because they said there was technical difficulty. It's like, oh, crap.
Oh, my Lord, yeah. You know, and folks don't understand that with live radio and stuff. Sometimes there's curveballs thrown at you. You just got to go with.
Yeah. And then a couple of times I was taping Ricky Stenhouse, and I hooked being I have to hook this thing up every week, I mishooked the wire, so I actually had him on the phone. I was pre-taping, and I wasn't getting sound. I said, hold on a second. No problem. And he and Diane were together at the time, so maybe I should have grabbed him because he was doing the breast cancer awareness thing where he pinked up his car for, I think, the Martinsville race, and maybe you should grab her, sometimes you have to use somebody to get somebody else, you know.
Yeah, but I know that. I've been there for that one, too.
So maybe we ought to do this a little more often and join forces. If we wanna, I don't know how it is over PNN. If you want to take this broadcast and share it with them.
Sure.
I'm a publicity whore, so wherever you can stretch it, plug your own, plug the stunt double team in, and who knows.
Yeah, we definitely need to put this show over there on Performance Motorsports Network. It definitely deserves it, and I'm telling you that much. You know, we have to be like the folks in NASCAR. We just got to find the sponsor.
Yeah. That's what's good about Blog Talk Radio. It don't cost that much for a year.
Right.
Yeah, I could do 2 hours a day every day for either a monthly credit card thing or a yearly fee, and it's under $500.
Yeah, that's real good, isn't it?
Yeah, we need a third person to go out and hunt down sponsorship to get us on one of the bigger venues. So like a lot of radio stations with a paid broker stations, they call them paid programming, and NJC was one of them, but I worked a deal with the owner, and it seemed to work out for the both of us.
Yeah, you know, when I first started Burn the Rubber Radio, we were on WKFC, the band at 101.9 FM, London, Kentucky, and that's what we did. It was paid broadcast in the 7 o'clock Eastern time, so did that every week, and thankfully had local marketing partners with me there back at the time, and every week they had Burn the Rubber Radio on in London, Kentucky market, and so... You know, they had the cat and the dog and whoever else was listening when the radio was left on to the show.
Right. Yeah, that's just at the station. They don't actually plug their show, so you got to do it all yourself.
That's right.
But you build up a following like we both of us have, and we run into each other on Facebook and being old jarheads and that kind of helps, and now we can pretty much do what we want.
That's right, buddy. You know.
If you want to do your own show on Blog Talk, I do have shows available every day but Tuesday and possibly Sundays when I'm thinking about doing a different type of show. It don't have to be all motorsports. Like in the off season, what do you talk about? Well, let me see. Guns, ammo, music, get Bruce contestants on, and stuff like that.
Now, come on, man. Haven't you talked about your world champion hot dog eating?
Being that's on the 4th of July, I kind of bring it up about then. So, I came in third 3 straight years. I mean, 11 and 6 minutes is pretty good. It was up 1 from last year, and the year before, they didn't have time, and I gave you 15, and whoever got done with 15, the fastest, got the first place, second and third. So I happened to be third every year. I was able to eat 15, but not in 6 minutes. But the guy that won ate 15 for that year, faster than anybody. He had been running in less than 6 minutes or so. And last year,
wow,
he had 19 running. Today he hit the 20 mark, and it was they give you 20, and he had him done in the 6 minutes. So,
God,
he's a nice guy.
Just thinking about it.
He's a nice guy. I got to meet him and all that, but people said, "Well, he's going." I says, "I swear he practices on horses and donkeys, man, because I don't know how he could pound in down his throat."
One or two hot dogs, and I feel like I'm about to pop. 20, God, I can't even get think. I can't even think like that.
Man, I enter these things for fun. That's the only one I've actually not won at. Up in New Jersey over there, they had a hoagie contest. The 2-foot Italian hoagie, I had done the quickest of only $100, so.
Oh,
as a kid, ice cream eating contest and tasty cake eating contest, little tasty cake pies, hands behind your back things, sitting there. And so I said, what the heck?
I tell you what,
I'm
you must have been the class of your platoon on Paris Island, my friend. Getting in the
let's put it this way. I was never pulled out of the mess hall without finishing my meals. Like the drill instructor used to say, okay, well, I'm running out there. I want you out there. Stay in formation. He'd get up and go out. Everybody pile out, and he'd come back in for another half hour.
Oh, my gosh. Memories.
And the good old days. That's another guy I got to meet. I'm trying to find the pictures of it. Somebody gave them to me on a CD. Arlie Ernie, the gunny.
Oh, he
was a grand marshal of Bozo one year. What's that?
I said, you got to talk to the gunny. I love him, man. He's great.
Oh, man, you had me peeing myself because we were heading from the media center after his press conference back out to the track, and there was an Army dude there, and, you know, because they always have a military guy there in uniform, and he was saying, "Daddy, it's a pleasure to meet you, thank you, and I used to be a Marine, and now I'm in the Army," and then he just turns and looks at him, "What the hell is wrong with you there, Sergeant?" You know, "Oh, sir, you wanted to get the ring, they wouldn't take me back." He was freaking out, laughing my ass off.
Oh, my gosh, that's great.
If you weren't there, and he pulled off that whole scene in the barracks, a full metal jacket.
Yep.
Unscripted live right there in front. Of course, he cleaned up the language a bit.
Oh, I love it, man.
He did the whole opening scene. He goes, "Well, you know, running lines for us. You didn't run lines there. You extremely run those lines daily. He's a drunk instructor. He didn't need to do that." So, he's been hammering recruits from, I don't know what, whatever drill instructor tour, a year, maybe two.
That's right.
So, yeah, I was trying to get a one-on-one with him, but I had just missed it because he had his camper parked out in the infield, and I guess he bugged out before, because I was in the media center waiting for the winner. They used to do it different back then. And then you have to wait till the winner was going on victory lane before they come in the media center. Now they do a couple of quick ones, and then they victory lane and come in for a press conference. But so by the time I got out there, he had already left the track. It's like, darn.
Wow, darn.
Now I'm going to try to get him on.
Well, that's another one I'd like to be there with.
Well, get three jawheads talking and stuff like that. So he was told about his old Dodge truck he had that he parked. It had Marine Corps logo. He'd park it in the back 40 and wherever he'd go somewhere. He was a spokesman for Glock, too. So at least he was. I don't know. They were paying him to do that. It's just something to see somebody like that go from that to being an actor.
That's right, man. God.
Well, who are you looking for this week in Bristol?
For the cup race?
Yeah, I only go with the cup race. It's easier. It's less aggravation.
Let's just be safe. You know what? He's on a tear this year. Let's go with Truex.
Okie dokie. Truex for you, and I'm going to go with Harvick, even though, believe it or not, the guy who led the most laps in this race, I mean, in April, the guy who won at Michigan, he led 202 laps at the August race. I mean, the April race this year. And Truex led the second most at 116. So that's a good pick. Of course, Harvick finished third. He only led 14 laps in this race. And, I mean, in the April race, and then last year, he led 128. So I'm going to go with Harvick.
All right.
Truex for you.
We'll see. Yep, Truex.
And that should be it for today. Andy, thanks for co-hosting today. Go out and tell your buddies to go to blogtalkradio.com/GarageTalkLive. They can find the show. It'll be the first one up. It'll have your name in it if they want to see what they missed.
Don't forget to go to Garage Talk Live Facebook page. Folks, say you want to go iRacing, I'll make sure you go iRacing as long as you're not already a member.
Go ahead and post that up there as soon as we get a chance. And
yep.
You have my permission to post anything on the Garage Talk Live page. So just put your name in parentheses so everyone knows who you are.
All right, brother. Hey, thank you very much for having me on. And, folks, thanks for listening to me for this hour. Vince, it's an honor to be on here with you, my friend.
No problem. I'll have you back. And if your schedule stays the same, it'll be really easy. Thanks for having me on.
Right.
Burning Rubber Weirdos a couple of times there. I had some good discussion there as well.
Yeah, that's right, my friend. You know, we're always up for a good time.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Vince Bonfiglio with Andy DeLay. Check out his column. It's on performancemotorsportsnetwork.com. And talking about the upcoming, what's next in NASCAR with all the new faces in and some of the old faces out. We'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.